Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all, and welcome to all our visitors. Really appreciate you joining us this Sunday, and to everybody that calls C3 Fremantle your church home, we welcome you again. It's great to be with one another. Please put your hands together for our lovely worship team. So this morning we are continuing our series called Yielded. Over the last few weeks, we've had an opportunity to explore the life of Abraham from Genesis 12. Today we're probably going to be moving into Genesis 22 is going to be our focus point. And we spoke about in the first week of the series the call to step out in faith, and that God, just as he called Abraham, is calling us to step out in faith, and that we need to be mindful of the things that hold us back, like fear can stop us from stepping out in faith. So we need to get rid of our fear and step out. If you're going to do something different, the honest truth is that it's going to hurt. So you might as well feel the pain and move through. And then last week we talked about the challenge of waiting. When you know that God has given you a promise, the challenge that you have now is waiting on the Lord to move. Because at times the Lord can take a very long time. And our trouble is waiting on God's timing. And so in waiting for God's timing, we learn to trust, and we don't look at the waiting as a punishment, but as an opportunity to learn to prepare for what God has for us. And so this week we're going to be continue on our journey, and the title of the message I have this morning is Yielded in Sacrifice, Surrendering What is Most Precious. It's one thing to pray for something, and then you get it, and you're so happy. And then the next step for you is letting go of that thing that you've been praying for. Anybody had that experience where you waited for something, you prayed on it, and then all of a sudden you felt the urge to have to give it away? It's just like you prayed for a job. You got the job, you got the money, and you're super excited. And then the Lord says, give the money away. Then all of a sudden, you know, something starts to happen on the inside of us. The challenge that we all have is that, will I be willing to surrender that thing which is most precious to me? Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be money. It could be so many other things that you will get an opportunity to have to give it up and to surrender it as the Lord leads you. So Abraham's journey with God teaches us about trusting God with our deepest desires and be willing to surrender what we hold most precious. So as we explore his story, I invite you to see yourself in his journey. Perhaps you're waiting on God for something now, and so, or you're struggling to trust through a test. The Lord is testing you with something, and it's a bit of a struggle. But it's a powerful example. His story teaches about how can I live in faith whilst I wait for God to move in my life. So some quick reflections. Abraham trusted God. He was an old man, and his wife was very old, and God promised them a son. And they had to wait at least 25 years. So that means that they had to trust that God was going to be able to do the impossible in their lives. They had to find purpose in the waiting. 25 years when nothing was happening. They had to remember that God's delays are often purposeful, and he's preparing us for the blessings that will arrive at exactly the right time. When you read Genesis, especially from chapter 12 to 22, you always hear it says, then the Lord came at the right time, at the time that he said he would. This is what God teaches us in the waiting, that he will come at the right time. And then, of course, what do we do, you know, when we celebrate when the child that God had promised, Isaac, had finally come? They obviously were very joyous and celebrating that I got a baby at 90 years old. Now, I know that you guys would be super surprised if there's a lady and a man in this church who gave birth to a child, and the lady was 90 years old and the man was 100 years old, wouldn't you be super surprised? You'd be like, wow. They gave, what, 90? Goodness, poor woman, you know, at 90 years old, giving birth. But she did. And so I can imagine, think of the times when you two had to celebrate answers to prayers, no matter how long it took. You waited and you waited. It's just like kids waiting for their birthday, and they were promised, what do kids love these days? A good old pair of Jordans or some type of sneaker. And then when it arrives and they are super happy, then they travel somewhere and somehow they feel the tug in their heart that the Lord says, I want you to give your sneakers to your cousin. And they'll be like, get behind me, Satan. That's not the Lord. So Abraham experienced encounters that shift our perspective. This is very important that he had an encounter throughout from Genesis 12 to 22. He gets to this place called at the Oak of Mamre. Abraham meets with God, and then he promised him a son and said, when I return next year, you will have a what? You will have a son. So encounters was a personal message from God where he meets with us and he reminds us that I need you to trust in me. And so this, whether this comes through his word, as you're reading his word, a scripture jumps out to you and you're like, wow, the Lord is speaking to me. Or it's through a prayer or somebody just says something that would encourage you. God will come at the appointed time. That's the encouragement that we get from the book of Genesis and through Abraham's journey. So now we come to, so he was promised that when I return this time next year, Sarah will have a son. And so Sarah thought, oh, this is not possible, and she laughed. And the Lord said, why did she laugh? And she said, no, I didn't laugh. And then the Lord says something that's very significant. He said, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? And I wonder for you, whatever it is that you're facing, what I want to say to you this today as I continue this message is that, is there anything too difficult for the Lord over your life? You could be at school and you're struggling with mathematics, you're struggling with English or science, you're at work, you're struggling with a particular project, you could be a parent, you're struggling with your children, you could be a businessman and you're struggling with business. What I want to say to you today, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? So now the promise has come. Wow, I'm getting a baby next. So now she knows that when I return this time next year, she will have a son. We now move to Genesis. That was Genesis chapter 19. We now move to Genesis 22. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. And then God says, take your son and listen to the emphasis of God here, your only son. Now, remember that Abraham had two sons. He had Ishmael and he had Isaac. And so God specifically says to him, take your son, your only son. He's thinking, well, what do you mean, my only son? I got two sons. And then he says, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. He then says in verse number 3, the next morning, Abram got up early. He saddled his donkey, and he took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. He chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering, and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little further. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. And then he gets to the mountain, he starts preparing the sacrifice, puts the wood. In fact, the son was carrying the wood on his back. And he says, Lord, Father, I can see that we got the wood for the fire. We got everything. But where is the animal that we're going to be sacrificing? And then I think the father gave him a response to say, the Lord shall provide. And so anyway, as they go on, he ties the boy on the stake, on the altar, on top of the firewood, and he's just about to plunge the knife, your sharpest kitchen knife, he's about to plunge that into the boy. And then he says, at that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says. This is now verse 15. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. Now, I just want to go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, where Jesus has an encounter with what they call in this instance the rich young ruler. So he says, someone came to Jesus with this question, teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Why ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. Then the guy was very happy and he said, which ones should I keep? Because there's how many of them? There's 10. The man asked, yes, there's 10. Well done. So, and Jesus replied, you must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother. And then the last one was, love your neighbor as yourself. And the guy was, oh my goodness, he was so happy. And he says, I've obeyed all these commandments. The young man replied, what else must I do? Because, you know, I tick all the boxes. Then Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Go and sell all your possessions. Now, we're assuming when he says all, he means what? All. And give the money to the poor. So there were instructions that were being given. If you follow these instructions, you will have the treasure that you're looking for in heaven. And then he says, once you've done that, then come follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had what? Many possessions. A complete contrast to what we've just read on Abraham's life. So the test of sacrifice, you see, is that Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac because he trusted in God's goodness, while the rich young ruler could not yield his wealth. If we look at Abraham's response when God called him, his response was immediate. It was because he says, take your son, your only son, go and sacrifice him. And it says the next day. I wonder for us, when God has spoken to you about something, how quickly do you move? Are you like Abraham? Or are you like the rich young ruler? Where you sort of like sit back and begin to ponder, I don't know, maybe that was not the Lord. So normally when God speaks, we hear the voice of the Lord speak to us. We sort of like say, that can't be the Lord. That's just who? Me. And we get away with stuff. It said the next morning, listen to what he did. He did the work and did not delegate the task. He saddled the donkey. He chopped the wood. He did that himself. Because sacrifice cannot be delegated. If I want to go to the gym, it would have been easy if I could send my son, can you go to the gym for me? He goes and does all the work, and then I get the benefits of all the what? The fitness. It doesn't work like that. You cannot, sacrifice cannot be delegated. So true sacrifice cannot be delegated or handed off to someone else. It requires personal commitment and willingness to get our hands dirty. It means stepping into the challenge ourselves, fully engaged, fully invested. Just like Abraham, we are called to be personally involved in what God asks of us, putting our own faith and trust on the line. This man put it all on the line. And I wonder for us, how quickly do we move when God speaks to us? Or do we become like the rich young ruler who just goes away and says, that's a hard one. And it stops there. There is no introspection. One of the things you've got to realize is that the rich young ruler, all those commandments that the Lord told him were commandments that were specific to how he related to people. All those commandments, I think five of them, they were all specific to how he related with people. Now that for me represents what we do on the, you know, we do these outward things where we're constantly doing good things to people. Yeah, I obey what my mother says and I honor my mother and father. I don't tell lies or I don't testify falsely on somebody else. All outward stuff. But there was nothing to tell us that there were some internal conversations that were taking place in his life. You see, the life that God calls us to is one of sacrifice and yieldedness. And what I want to say about this life of sacrifice and yieldedness is that though it may be a lonely road, its rewards are eventually enjoyed in the open for all to see. I go to the gym, I work out, I practice my basketball shots constantly because I want to do well in basketball. Whatever it is I'm kicking, I'm by myself when I'm doing this. But then all of a sudden when I get an opportunity, I'm kicking the soccer ball. But when I get the opportunity now and I get better at my skills, I'm at it. The rewards are eventually enjoyed in the open. But they don't see the hard work. Just like us when we watch football, when we watch soccer, when we watch basketball on the screen, we feel that these guys are not exerting any effort because we really can't see them or feel them breathe. We just think that they're robots running around and they're not exerting and that their lungs are not burning. But that's actually what is happening. Their lungs are burning. They feel like quitting, but they keep going. So three reflections that reveal how Abraham's journey prepared him for the ultimate test of faith. Abraham's life was built on a declaration of his dependence on God. His life was marked by altars, an altar is a place where you're constantly coming before the Lord, offering a personal sacrifice, and it could be for us, it's in our hearts. We were constantly spending time with the Lord, and the Lord is moving and saying stuff to us, and we're saying, Lord, I'm committed to you. Each and every day, I'm committed to you. These altars represent a life continually brought back to land to the Lord in worship and surrender. With God, we're constantly coming back to the Lord, and he's asking us that question, do you love me? And you say, oh, Lord, I love you so much. Yes. So it was a life marked by altars. Our lives are marked by moments, big and small, where we realign ourselves with God. Each time we choose to trust him, we build our own altars that anchor our faith in his presence. Now, if there's no altars in our lives, well, that's going to be a bit difficult. His encounters that he had with the Lord strengthened his faith. He experienced numerous encounters. And so through each encounter, God reaffirmed his promises and deepened Abraham's faith. As you spend time with the Lord through reading and Bible, through reading the word and prayer, and through your journey of life, God is going to, as you encounter him, reaffirm his promises through his word. and your faith gets deepened so that when the test comes, you've built up somewhat some trust that, okay, if God is asking me to give something up, then surely he must have a better what? A better plan. And so that means my yielding to the Lord is not going to be that difficult because I trust in him fully, because I've walked with him. And so the encounters that he provides for us remind us of his faithfulness along the way, shaping our trust in him, even when we don't understand his timing. And the last one, Abraham's life was yielded despite the imperfections. His life wasn't flawless. He was a liar. He lied that his wife was his sister. He chose to help God along the way and bring about his own son, Ishmael, which wasn't God's plan. And so sometimes we choose something that is not the best for us because we are trying to help God along. And so we choose the second best, not the ideal that God has for your life. Despite all of this, his heart remained yielded to God, and he continually returned to the Lord in trust. And my encouragement for all of us this morning is that we need to journey with the Lord. We need to be those that never abandon prayer and reading the Word of God. That even though we're going through a tough time, we will say, God, this is so hard. I really want to help you. But guess what? I'm going to trust that you have my best interests at heart. God doesn't call us to be perfect. He wants us to be yielded. When we live with open hearts, willing to trust him above everything else, we find the strength to face even the hardest what? The hardest tests. And so we then learn that letting go of what we hold dear will not become a difficult thing. Abraham's yieldedness, when it's contrasted with the young ruler's inability to surrender his security and possessions. Now that I have all these possessions, Lord, what you're asking me to do, very difficult. And so it says he went away sad because he was not willing to let go. Sometimes the sacrifice God asks of us is something we've long prayed for and received. Yet it has become the focus of our affection, taking the place of God in our what? In our hearts. The thing that we have prayed for all of a sudden becomes the thing that we are now worshiping and not the Lord himself. Other times, it's the small or the big attachments in our lives. It's those sins or habits we struggle with that we're hesitant to surrender. Clinging to them, even though we know they hinder our relationship to him. I'll hold on to a lifestyle because I know I just can't give it up. I'm not willing to yield and let go of what it is that God has for me. When God has promised me a better life, a life that is free from addiction. For many years, I wondered, would I ever be free of something? You know, I asked myself that. I thought, oh man, this is going to be a lifelong struggle. But God, through his grace, all I'm saying is that if you've ever been addicted to something, when the Lord comes and does something, there is some freedom that comes in your life. You let go and you trust God. You deal with your issues because sometimes we hold on to stuff because of how it makes us feel, that it's filling a need that we don't want, that we really don't, that needs to, it's filling a need that only God can fill. I told you one of my things was amongst a list of many things. This shopping thing, addiction. Now, I wasn't super crazy, but I was crazy. You know, I wasn't super crazy, but I was crazy. I would always rush to the shops to go and get the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. until I heard those words, most powerful words, very simple words. Do you know that when you remove a trousers or two, or a pair of jeans, whatever it is, or a pair of shoes, whatever it is from these racks, they're going to add four more. These things are not, you can never finish these things. And it's in that moment where I began to question, that, oh my goodness, why am I doing this? But it was feeling a need, you know, constantly, you know, you're carrying the bags. It's always a nice feeling, huh? You're carrying the bags. So you need to do the work. You need to do the work to deal with some of these issues in your life so that you can be free. Whatever it is, speak to somebody and confess your sin. That's the first step. Confess your sin to the Lord to say, Lord, I'm struggling with this. We need to be those people that are, we need to know, let's be very aware. Let's have a self-awareness of some of the things that get us. Greed. If greed gets you, you tell the Lord, hey, Lord, I'm a greedy person. Can you help me? Or whatever it is, you need to actually be very honest with yourself and get the help that you need to deal with your issue. Amen? So God's provision follows surrender. It doesn't come before it. God's provision follows surrender. And I'll get the team to come up. Thank you. Abraham's surrender resulted in God's miraculous provision. Whilst the rich young ruler left what? Sorrowful, missing the greater reward. So one decided to do the sacrifice bit. He decided to sacrifice, and then miraculously, God provided a ram. And so it was like, oh, thank goodness, I didn't have to kill this boy. Then the other one, so can you contrast what happened? One sacrificed and got the rewards of his sacrifice because it says, because you have obeyed me, I'm going to do this, 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 because you were willing to let go of that thing that you held dear. The rich young ruler left very dejected, because he was not willing to let go of what was most precious to him, which were his possessions. And there's nothing wrong with many possessions. It's good to have many possessions. But the possessions had him. And his focus was on the wrong things. So my question, this is what it's a statement I'm making. The return on investment in obedience is unmatched. The return on investment in obedience is unmatched. You may lose something now, but you gain far more than you give up. We're all going to be challenged somewhere, in some place, whether it be at the workplace, where there's an opportunity to cut corners, in relationships. Remember, there's always an opportunity to choose what's not God's ideal for us. But the return on investment in obedience is unmatched. And I guess the question that I have for each and every one of us, regardless of your age, will future generations thank you for your obedience? Or will your name fade into obscurity because you are unwilling to pay the price? Will future generations thank you for your obedience? Or will your name fade into obscurity because you are unwilling to pay the price? If we want to live successful lives, then we need to be yielded to the Lord. That means that we're going to allow God to have the necessary conversations with us, that we are going to take the steps to deal with the issues that we need to deal with in our lives so we can be free. So that the battles that I faced, my children don't have to deal with because I've dealt with them. that they will sort of like look back in the next, when I'm no longer here. They will look back and say, wow, were it not for that guy. They will look, this is why it's very important. Can I say this? This is why it's very important for you to know your family history. Because you see, this enemy that you deal with has got no new tricks up his sleeve. All he does is he will say, look, how did I get the grandfather? Oh, I got him like this. Then how did I get the father? Or the mother? Or, and then he says, but we'll just use fathers here to represent both. How did I get the grandfather? In fact, how did I get the great-grandfather? Then how did I get the grandfather? How did I get the father? Because guess what? I'm just going to use the same tricks on the son. If you look at this story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were all liars. They all lied. They were all devious. Grandfather, father, and son. This is why it's important that you do the work as a parent. This is why it's important that you look at your family history and say, what is it that got us? Not because you're looking at them harshly, but you're trying to glean some spiritual intelligence. Because this enemy of yours is going to come with the exact same trick. So prepare yourselves, arm yourselves, and understand that, because that is, we are getting insights into how to deal with things when we look at the scripture, so that we have the intelligence that we know to fight our battles. So one more time, will future generations thank you for your obedience, or will your name fade into obscurity because you were unwilling to pay the price? And as we stand this morning, as we finish, what are you holding on to that God is asking you to yield? Whether it's possessions, relationships, or personal ambitions, trust God. What I'm saying is that whatever is asked, what are you holding on that is asking you to yield? Is it possessions, relationships, personal ambitions? And I'm saying, trust God with what is most precious to you. Yielding in sacrifice opens the door for God's greater provision and blessings in your life. You're a young person, you're single. Hey, keep yourself pure. Young man, the same. So we are yielded as we learn and we glean from the experience of Abraham that he built altars, opportunities, and moments with the Lord. Prayer allows us to discern what God is asking us to surrender. And you see, the example and the guide that we have is of the Lord Jesus Christ, who says he prayed, not my will, but yours be done. And so we therefore must come to God in prayer to lay down our desires and attachments, trusting that what we give up in obedience will be multiplied by God's provision. So, Father, we thank you this morning that you are calling us, Lord God, to a life of sacrifice and yieldedness. I pray, Lord God, that, Father, we would do a check, Father, on our history, our family history, to work out, Lord God, what is it that they got them old folks with? That we be wise, Lord God, we be wise. And I just pray, Father, that we would be willing to do the necessary work. Father, the necessary work so that our children don't have to face the same battles we faced. Oh, Lord God, may we desire to raise up altars of prayer and sacrifice before you. That as you've called us, Lord God, that because of the mercies of God, that we would present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. And when we have done that, Lord God, we will know what is the good and the acceptable will of the Lord in our lives. And so, Father, I thank you for your people. And this morning, I just want to pray as we leave. I sense for those of you that the Lord has whispered some things and perhaps said things and called you in your life, I want you to answer the call of God. Don't ignore it any longer. Don't hide. If God is calling you, don't hide any longer. Those who have been waiting for an answer from the Lord, as we sing the song, as we're finished, I just want you to come. We're going to pray that God would give you strength and courage in the waiting. And the last thing I'll ask is that, have you obeyed the last thing the Lord said to you? Don't ask to get something new from the Lord. Have you obeyed the last thing the Lord said to you? So let's pray. Let's sing. And if you need prayer, come to the front. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.